It's at the end of the last page. I've got some news. Hey everybody, if you're getting for NaNoWriMo, I wanted to let you know about a little class I'm teaching on the Speakeasy platform. I'll be teaching NaNoWriMo Boot Camp on Tuesday, October 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can sign up at speakeasy.com. Come in and hang out and let's talk about NaNoWriMo. But I've only got 50,000 words to go before the end of NaNoWriMo. We've talked about food and clothing and how that can add to your story, but today we're going to talk about the tiny, tiny details. Because it's I Should Be Writing, Season 17, Episode 65. Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. Watching Doctor. And hi there, folks. Welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. We stream on Twitch Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and then we put the podcast in the feed. I've been doing this for 17 years, y'all. Put the podcast in the feed, and then you can listen to it anytime. So we'd like to welcome you live, twitch.tv/mightymer, or keep listening at the feed. Doesn't matter. So what I've been up to is I've been putting out fires, just a lot of little things demanding my attention. I only say this to explain my mental state. It's been a weird up and down month, or weird up and down last 30 days. A lot of weird stuff. A lot of bad stuff. But something good, kind of. Something good kind of dropped on me. And I'm doing my best to be professional, to not self-reject, to not let the imposter syndrome absolutely drown me. And I'll tell you more when I can. So that's been my, that's what I've been working on. I mentioned it last week, but in case you haven't heard, Matt's taking a step back from Ditch Diggers, and I think, I'm gonna have to figure out what to do about it. And, I mean, about the show, not, like, figure out what to do about Matt. It's more of, what am I gonna do to carry the show forward from here? Tomorrow will be the last scheduled live Ditch Diggers for a while until I figure out where to go with it. I have no good news to spend except to say that I have an opportunity and we're going to see what happens. So this is the part where we talk about good news. I can't talk about my good news, but I may have some, and I'll tell you when I can. But if y'all have any good news to tell me, let me know, because I like to celebrate things. And remember, you can celebrate rejections because it means you're a working writer. People who don't get rejected are not sending out submissions. So I kind of compare it to, you know, part of the stuff about like owning or managing a restaurant is like cleaning the bathrooms. And not necessarily janitorial work, like really small business. Somebody's got to do it, and you own it. So, yeah, that's part of the job, and it sucks, but it's part of being a bar owner. Or bar manager. Anyway. My metaphor fell apart, and I'm sorry. I still think that good and bad things come with every job. Rejection's the bad part, and unfortunately it's the first part you usually taste when you start becoming a working writer. But I just want people to remind themselves that, yes, it sucks, but you're doing it. It's better to be a loser than a spectator, as Garfunkel and Oates say. So while y'all come up with your good news, I want to read an email that I just got today before I streamed. I don't know if I'm supposed to say their name or not. Actually, I'll say your name if you don't tell me not to say your name. So Haley writes, I submitted my very first query ever, ever, ever. I'm 20 years old and the new chapter in my life has now officially started. That's awesome, Haley. You get the yay button and the applause because you deserve it. That's amazing. It's so hard. That first one's so hard, isn't it? Really, I remember, God, now I feel really old, but I remember doing stacks of manuscripts in my office because it seemed that every agent wanted something slightly different. Like one agent wanted first 50 pages, one agent wanted first chapter, one wanted like a one paragraph synopsis, another wanted a whole page synopsis, and I kind of resented the fact that I had to print out something specific for each one, and it didn't work. That was fun. So, but I remember, like, that first step was just so hard. So yeah, congratulations. We are very proud for you. Cheering for you in the chat. Haley, well done. Let's see. What do we got around here? I don't know if I can talk about my news, but you're involved. Yes, Preemie has good news. Yeah, we haven't talked about that, have we? But we'll talk later. And Preemie had a book come out last week. So that's cool. Jasmine says, I have two projects that completed with no issues. Wahoo! That's amazing! I don't know why I got out of practice hitting the yay button, because both of you deserve yay buttons. And now we're behind in yays. Hey, Devo Spice. I did my first Save the Cat outline for a short film I want to make. That's cool. Let's see. Jasmine got two projects. And then, let's see. Devo Spice did the first Save the Cat outline. How was it? Was it hard? Cheryl says, I got my edits back. They're not as nearly as bad or as many as I feared they would be. That's awesome. Miracle says, my attitude of celebrating rejections had made me actually smile at rejection, so thank you for that, Mer. That is awesome. I'm really glad to hear that. Because I just feel like somebody's going to say, man, you're a jerk, trying to make light of this thing that truly does crush writers' souls. And yeah, it does. But it's still a step forward. It feels like a step back. It feels like a punch in the gut. But it is a step forward. It's kind of a step forward in the dark. I use metaphors too much. Let's see. Catwood says, so glad I didn't have to query in the age of printing and mailing. Printing is the bane of my existence. Yeah. Yeah. That was, was a thing that we did. Yay, Haley. We got a yay, Haley, from Under Pope. It's really awesome coming from Under Pope, because Under Pope is... What are you at, Under Pope? How many submissions already for 2021? Devo Spice says, Save the Cat was not too hard. The hardest part was cramming it down to a 10-page script. There are still a couple weak spots I want to punch up, but it's a good starting point. That's awesome. 87 rejection... Not rejection, submissions this year. That's amazing. So I'm going to hit the yay button. I love when we have lots of good news, but then if we have lots of good news, we have to wait like the several seconds for each thing of confetti going, and you know, we got stuff, places to be, stuff to say. I'm with it. I'm here. All right. Finally catching up. We are sponsored one last week by Scribophile, which is the place that you can go to build your writer's network, build your writer's group, find beta readers. You crit their stories, they crit you. And, you know, I don't talk about this enough, but one thing that people don't talk about when it comes to reading other people's work with the intent to either move it up the slush hierarchy or to improve it in a workshop, it makes you better. Because, like, I can spot bad description very quickly, because description is the hardest thing for me. And at least that also gives me a, I'm not being too harsh because I think this is really difficult too. That's just why I spotted it so easily, because it's my problem as well. But you can learn, sometimes you can see what people do. And if they do it more than you do, it's much more obvious and it's magnified and you can pinpoint it and hopefully pinpoint it in your own work later. Kind of like, I think I've told this story before, and no, I won't name names, but back in the day, I was unhappy about something. And I really wanted to go to social media and complain about it. Then a friend of mine went to social media and started complaining about the same thing, and he sounded like a big crybaby. And I'm like, man, I feel you, but thanks for showing me what not to do. Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to sound like that. I can just have the feeling inside and, you know, sit in the corner and grumble. But airing it was not a good move. And yeah, so it's kind of like that. You just learn when somebody else does it bigger and more obnoxiously. You're like, oh, that's the end result. Okay. Cool. Anyway, so when you go to Scribifile to find your group, and I know you're looking for someone to critique your stories, you have to give back. You have to, I don't know what the ratio is. I remember when I was on the, oh God, now I can't think, the community that I used to be on many, many, many years ago, we had like four, you had to do four critiques to get one. So they were really pushing everybody to give lots and lots of critiques. And it sounds like you're doing that for somebody else, but you're really doing it for yourself as well. So yeah, Scribifile, I'll put it in the chat. Thank you for the sponsorship. Scribifile.com. It'll be in the show notes. It's in the chat right now. I recommend looking for it. And we're not supported by NaNoWriMo, but NaNoWriMo is coming. If you don't know what National Novel Writing Month is, it's where a whole bunch of people around the world, it's not even national anymore, it's international, try to write 50,000 words in November. And it is a joke among my audience that I am incapable of doing this. I'm very incapable of doing this. But, you know, I know I can write a book, and I know that I can finish a book, so it's not that bad, and it's funny at this point. And at least I can speak to other people from the point of view of, yeah, I can't do it either, but here's how we move forward kind of thing. I will try, but I will say that the thing that dropped on me might be taking a lot of my creative energy in November. But I do have a book to write, so we'll see. But yeah, NaNoWriMo's coming. I'm teaching a class. I forgot to mention this. I didn't put any buttons on it. But I am teaching a class on the Speakeasy platform about getting ready for NaNoWriMo, and that's next Tuesday. So it's a week from today, 5 o'clock. Yes, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, how to get ready for NaNoWriMo. And then it's, we'll go to, I hate it when I start thinking about something that's not what I'm talking about. Then on October 30th, if you have hemmed and hawed too long and decide, maybe I could do this, but I don't have enough time to prepare, we're doing a last minute NaNoWriMo prep live course at Speakeasy. They will be similar, but, you know, in one of them I'll be talking about how to create a larger outline, and in the other one I'll be talking about how to just figure out what you're going to write. So there are different approaches. There's the, I got weeks to go and I'm all ready, and then there's, you know, I think I'll do this. Oh crap, this is a lot of work. How do I start? So that's I think it's speakeasy.com. I don't know if my moderator's here, if they could look that up. I also did put it on Twitter, I think. That's the problem with scheduling stuff on Twitter. It's like, did I say that today? I don't know. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about. Sometimes I'm literal, and sometimes I take things for granted, and I don't like that about myself, but at least I can admit it. And I was reading Connie Willis's story, just like the ones we used to know. If you know anything about me, you know that I love almost anything Connie Willis has written, and I love Christmas stories, so Connie Willis's Christmas stories are, you know, they're my holy book. I've learned so much from this one novella. I've talked about it before, especially how points of view can really bring across a lot of stuff. The narrative voice can really make it a lot of subtle things happen. Namely, the woman who was a bride, like the maid of honor at her friend's wedding, and the story's told from her point of view. She's in love with the groom, and there's a viola player who shows up and tries to hit on her. He never gets a name because in her mind, all that exists is the groom. She doesn't even ever ask his name. And it took me a while to figure that out because I was thinking, why doesn't he introduce himself? Why don't we get his name? And I realized it's because it's her point of view and she doesn't care. Anyway, that's my tangent. Always, always love Connie Willis. So we were listening to it, and my husband started laughing at one scene. It wasn't a funny scene. Connie Willis is a funny writer, but I looked at him and like, what's funny about that scene? A snowplow was driving by, and the bride was running out to flag it down. Bridezilla, freaking out at everything, goes off to get in the snowplow and run off. And he's laughing because the description of the scene has the snowplow clearing the street, but pushing a ton of snow into the driveway and parking lots of homes and businesses. And he's like, you know she lives where it snows. And I had taken it for granted, but it's the kind of little things that just stand out like that. There are people who demand details, and the first group that comes to mind are gun fanatics. And if you get a caliber wrong, if you don't even know what a caliber is, which is kind of where I am, if you get something wrong about the heat of the shell as it's expelled, or I've seen people complain about when they're firing that Gatling gun out of a helicopter in Matrix, complaining that the shells showering down are the wrong caliber. And it's like, as much as the Wachowskis worked on all of the little details, that detail stuck out. There are people who are horse people. I don't know if Fire Writer's here, but I'm pretty sure she'll back me up. Who, when you put horses in a book, there's a lot of mistakes you can make. Like, Writer's Digest had a book on guns for writers. That's interesting. My husband pinpointed it because that really did that, you know, the little detail. If you don't know, if you don't pay attention, not pay attention, if you don't live where it snows, you don't think about that. You don't think about where that snow goes once they push it off the road. Well, they push it into people's driveways and parking lots and stuff. And I remember growing up that when you painstakingly shovel the driveway, and then the plow comes by, and you've got to do it all over again. Not all of it over again, but then there's like this little hill of, there's this hill of stuff, of snow in front of you. I think I, little things like if you fail at that, if you don't include it, sure. If you include it, it'll make the scene richer. If you include it and get it wrong, it will throw people out of the story. I think where we fall down on this though is where it, you know, when you don't know what you don't know, there's that you learn about something a little bit and you think everything I've seen is all I need to know about this thing. But then you do a little bit more research, and as you learn more, you realize there's more you don't know. So it's like, for some reason, it always throws me out when people talk about not having their contact solution or having to sleep in their contacts and just mentioning it as a aside, as an aside, when back when I wore contacts, that's like hell for the rest of the day. You sleep in your contacts, they're gummy, they're hot, they're burning, and just it's awful the next day. And I actually don't, it's been very long since I've worn contacts, so I don't know if the technology's gotten any better, but it's still a matter of when people talk about sleeping in contacts and everything being fine, I'm like, really? Really? So I'm guessing start with what you do know. So when you take something and you give it a little bit of detail and it's right, it just makes your story that much better. As of today, I will have officially talked about Nathan Lowell more in the past 7 days than I have in years, and I need to catch up with him. But I remember when his first book came out. Crap. Now I can't remember the name of it. Nobilis, do you know? Crap. Anyway, Nathan Lowell came out with a book. Thank you, Quarter Share. Came out with a book when we were all doing patio books. And I remember seeing an editor say that he never thought he would care that much about making coffee, because it's a story about a young man getting a job, like the worst level job on a spaceship, and he knew how to make coffee, so he spends a very long time cleaning out the coffee urn and making coffee. And that's one of the, and that specifically is a little thing that makes people very happy. Things like improving one thing that they've accepted is going to be crap. Yes, it is an excellent example of how small a story can be and be compelling. And I read it, and it's funny. It read kind of like a very well-written RPG book. There's not a lot of story there. But Nathan writes so well that you just want to learn more about this world. It's really interesting if you want to know that you know that Nate knows about that Nathan Lowell knows about making coffee because of the detail he put into that scene. Yes, later books have more plot. Yes, I remember that. It's all character and setting pretty much. But when you think about a scene, and as I said before, description's the hardest thing for me. Think about the senses. Your character's hearing and smelling and tasting and, you know, what are the other words? Five senses. Yeah, seeing. Yeah, seeing's the one we all always do. I'm asking you to expand. Think about what you've experienced with that, like the snowplow. Have you experienced your driveway being blocked? Have you experienced your parents' rage when the driveway is blocked and they just shoveled it? It's tiny little things like that that bring authenticity. And I know I talked about authenticity before, but now I'm going into the details. I recently read a scene that I don't know if it's. It threw me out, but I'm not sure if the person was right or wrong. They were talking about Oh, damn it. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say anything. This was a critique I was doing, and even I'm not I doubt the person will ever hear this, but that's unfair. Anyway, when you bring things into your story that are much bigger than you realize, and again, you have to figure out what you don't know. But like when you bring a horse into your story, you're gonna need to do some reading if you don't know anything about horses. And when you bring firearms into your story, you need to do research on caliber and what's available and what's illegal and what the laws are. I'm telling you to do more research, and I'm sorry because I like research, but sometimes when it's a rabbit hole that you can fall down, but you can also find a tiny little nugget of information. And here's what those nuggets do. The tiny little nuggets of information, you read an entire five Wikipedia pages to learn about one thing. And you take one part of those five Wikipedia pages and put it in your story. I know Wikipedia is not flawless, just the one that came to mind. If you get this one thing right, it's like the towel from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. If you manage this one thing right, people are going to assume that you know all the other stuff. It's the tip of the iceberg. If you can get this one authentic piece right, then a lot of people will just say, okay, I'll go on with it. And that's a good feeling. You don't have to give all of the things that you research. If you're not Kim Stanley Robinson, I would say don't. There are very few people who can get away with it. And I still find some of his books, some of the very crunchy science that he gets into, that a lot of people love, I have trouble staying with him. There's a scene in The Diamond Age where he is telling a fairy tale about a Turing machine, and I would just always tune out when it got to there. And frankly, all it was doing was teaching a little girl how to code. That's what this fairy tale was supposed to do. It was just in detail how she figured out the Turing machine. And yeah. But that's clearly my problem because Kim Stanley Robinson does okay, has lots of fans, lots more fans than me. I had to do a signing beside him once. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, authenticity comes with little details you get right. People will assume you know a lot more than you do when you get certain things right. The problem is, you're going to have to do the research and make sure that you know enough to know what you don't know, and then don't put that in your book. I'm speaking a lot in negatives, but no one said this was easy. I'm going to stop the podcast right here and say thank you for listening. And if you want to reach me, I'm at mightymer@gmail.com. My website is merverse.com. I edit a Hugo nominated magazine, co-edit, excuse me, Divya. Escape Pod, escapepod.org, and I write books there. I'm very Googleable. You can find me at the indie bookstore sites and the Amazon site and the Barnes and Noble site and all that. So if you like Star Wars books or science fiction or urban fantasy, I got all of those. But I will be back on Thursday with Gwenda Bond. Gwenda Bond is coming with us. Gwenda Bond, author of Not Your Average Hot Guy. We get to talk to her. I'm excited. Gwenda is one of my favorite people. She's delightful. So, gonna have her next Thursday at 3 o'clock. Yes, there will be a Ditch Diggers tomorrow. Ursula Vernon will be guest hosting with me. But that'll be the last scheduled Ditch Diggers for a while. But thank you to our sponsor, Scribophile. Yeah, I got this. And we'll see you next time, because you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support.
Doctor Who. When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.